Welcome to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, a place where we share everything you need to know about restoring your metabolism so you can eat more, train less, and lose weight in a healthy and sustainable way.
I'm Kitty Bloomfield, co-founder of New Strength and Saturate, creator of pro-metabolic food supplements and seriously saturated skincare. And today we have our friend Isaac Pollan back on the podcast. He's a registered dietitian and type 1 diabetic, and he loves carbs and sugar.
Thanks for having me on, Kitty.
We were just talking about how we've both done the low carb, like keto, and just makes you angry.
It changes your personality, I will say that. Yeah,
life is good with carbs. Also, thanks for coming back onto the podcast. We actually just recorded a module for the new, well, it won't be new by the time this comes out, the course that we're launching, the group coaching with our app, just all around sugar and carbs. And it was amazing. And I cannot wait to share it with everyone. And he's got a book coming out, which is called Have Your Carbs and Eat Them Too, which I'm really looking forward to. So I'll share that with everyone when it comes out. How long is it taking you to get it published? A while.
Yeah. I mean, to write it, it took actually a few years, but I split it up into like three books now. So part of it, it's going to become a few other books. And then, the publishing is, it's taking like at least 6 months to get all the, like the website and technical, you know, information down, and all like the processing behind the scenes that I don't really know how to do, cause I'm not really technologically savvy, but yeah, hopefully within the next month or so it'll be out.
Yeah, cool. I'm excited to read it and we'll share it with everyone. So today I wanted to get him on to talk about, you know, blood sugar rises and falls and glucose monitors. And, you know, I think like I've seen people on Instagram talk about, oh, you know, you don't want to have any spikes in your blood sugar and this is bad and you're going to gain weight. And, you know, so we just wanted to talk a little bit more about that. So you just did this really good post and I was like, oh, this will be a good one to talk about on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's called a continuous glucose monitor, CGM, if you're not like super familiar what that is, it's a device that you wear kind of on your body, typically for most people, either on their arm or abdomen, that basically tracks their blood sugar in response to different things throughout the day. And you can, and typically it's updated, you know, it depends on the monitor that you have. The one that I have is updated every few minutes. So you can kind of track your blood sugar over the course of the entire day, including when you fall asleep as well. And all these wearable devices are becoming more and more popular too. And I think they do have a certain benefit, especially if like you're, you have diabetes, like I have one, and it helps me to be able to track my blood sugars, help to catch like a rise in blood sugar or a low quicker. So it doesn't really drop me or doesn't really spike on me. So I think for the, in the right context, they can be very helpful devices. I also think for some people, like they've been now marketed towards more of like the weight loss industry. Mm-hmm. And then those that just want to are curious to see how their blood sugar responds based on like how they eat or what activities that they are doing. And I think it can be sometimes a slippery slope. It just depends on the person. For those that it can work for, I would say are those that can kind of take it with a grain of salt. So they might see their blood sugar in response to something and say, hey, like that's maybe a part of the decision-making the process that I'll make based on how certain things have responded. Let's just say it rose a bit. If they can take that with a grain of salt, typically I find clients doing a little bit better with that because it doesn't determine their entire process where they'll be like, hey, because my blood sugar rose, I just have to cut out carbohydrates. Like if it's going to be something like that, then it probably won't be very supportive to your overall health. So if someone can take that within the context and understand like what's behind that rise, I think it can be, you know, a decent device. But the problem comes into play if we don't understand how blood sugar typically responds to someone with normal blood sugar control, and or we're overreacting to how our blood sugar responds to, you know, basic meals, that's when I think it can become a little bit more problematic. And when with any measurement in the body, nothing is meant to be a straight line. Whether we look at blood pressure or heart rate or cholesterol, because at the end of the day, the body is dynamic, meaning it moves, and it moves in support of our own body and well-being. And I just gave this example in the course that we're going over, Kitty. It's like if I were to, do some sort of physical activity, whether that be like jumping jacks or push-ups or lifting weights, my heart rate and my blood pressure are going to go up. And if we don't understand the context of this, if we just say we look at my blood pressure and heart rate and see the level that they're at, we might say, "Wow, Isaac, you're at risk for cardiovascular disease, or you're going to have a heart attack, or whatever the case may be." So context is the one of the most important things when it comes to these measurements, right? And if we look at something like blood pressure or heart rate, well, those rise for a specific reason in exercise because it's to get blood flow to my brain, back to my muscles, so that my muscles can work. I can stay upright. I don't faint, right? I can participate in this activity and still maintain my own health and well-being. So there's a reason why those go up. Well, what could be the reason that blood sugar might fluctuate? Like, why would that potentially be beneficial, right? Well, when blood sugar fluctuates, and when I say fluctuates, I don't mean spikes up into beyond, 200 and 300 and 400. Like that's a separate issue, and that's more so, take some, support with nutrition and lifestyle to support that. But if we're talking that there's a bump up in blood sugar where it's less than 140 for overseas folks that use the metric system, if it's less than 7.8 millimoles, if it's less than 7.8 millimoles, less than 140, that is a normal blood sugar response. So blood sugar is actually meant to fluctuate, and there's actually a reason for that. The reason has all to do what happens when we have more energy than we need. And so when we have more energy than we need, and when I say energy, more carbohydrates in the bloodstream, the body kind of absorbs that, particularly an organ called the liver. And so what the liver does, it soaks it up kind of like a sponge would water, soaks it up and it stores it for later use. I gave this example in the class that we just discussed. It's like that carb pantry that many of us had growing up, where we've had all the pretzels or the chips or the potatoes or the rice or the crackers or the cookies, candy, like all those carbohydrates. Your liver is basically the body's form of that. It's carbohydrates for later use. And, with those blood sugar bumps, it's able to actually absorb and store those away for later use. And that is important for a few different reasons. Number one, it decreases stress on the body, right? Because when we're not eating, let's just say we go 8 hours without eating, if we don't have that energy available, we're going to stress our body out to the point where we're now breaking down our own muscle tissue, which depletes our body of muscle mass, makes our metabolism lower, over time, and isn't the most supportive of it, particularly as we're getting older and really want to maintain muscle mass, right? So by having carbohydrates in the liver, it actually prevents that from happening. It makes us our body less stressed. Well, it also prevents our blood sugar from going low too, which is also less stress on our body because when we have more stable blood sugar, we have more energy, we're less hangry, we're less moody, we're less stressed, right? We're able to function more like a normal human being, just like our car would if it has the appropriate amount of gas, right? So, it does two different things right there that are super important. The last thing is probably the most important thing, and it's really what makes carbohydrates the best source of energy for the body. Because when it comes to having carbohydrates in the liver, it does a crucial job of activating thyroid hormone or hormone in general, but particularly thyroid hormone. And if you don't know much about thyroid hormones, they play a huge role in metabolism, keeping, our body composition at a certain level, keeping our body temperature up at a certain level, right, to thrive and function, keeping your energy up. Well, the thing with thyroid hormone is it's mostly released in its inactive form, meaning it's not usable by the body just yet, right? And it needs something to be able to activate it to change it to something usable. And the primary spot where that is done is actually in the liver. And I compare this to like a supplement that you get or you buy at the store where you have like a foil or a plastic seal on top of that bottle and you have to rip it off to get access to the capsules, right? Well, that's kind of like the inactive hormone. It needs to be changed. It needs to be adjusted to be usable. And same thing is true for in the body. Well, what does that, like in this case, that seal removal, or what activates that thyroid hormone? Well, it's having carbohydrates in the liver, right? So to sum this up, like if we don't have carbohydrates in the liver, if we aren't not getting blood sugar bumps after the meals that we eat, we are not going to be able to store carbohydrates in the liver as effectively. And if we're not able to store carbohydrates in the liver as effectively, our body's going to be more stressed. It's going to be more inflamed. It's going to be more insulin resistant, more likely to gain weight. And with thyroid hormone, it impacts the state of every single, I should say the health of every single cell in the body, meaning mental functions or symptoms, anxiety, depression, personality, mood swings, physical symptoms, whether that be fatigue, ability to sleep or fall and stay asleep, digestion, lab work such as high cholesterol levels, high blood sugar, high blood pressure, high cholesterol or high thyroid labs, like all of those different things impacted by just one hormone. And so the thing is, if we look at blood sugar and just say, hey, high blood sugar is a result of carbohydrates, then we are removing the very link that promotes a healthy state of our body as a whole. And so we can't just say, like, to get better blood sugars, we have to remove carbohydrates. We have to think more so, okay, if we're struggling with carbohydrates, how can we get our body processing them more effectively so that we can still get the benefits of those, but not get the blood sugar swings as a result? And so fluctuations are normal, spikes are not. And then sometimes we group those two words together to mean the same thing, but they're not.
Now, can you talk about, because I think a lot of people are like, oh my goodness, I've got insulin resistance or this high blood sugar, or you talked about your body's inability to like utilize and process the carbs. Can you talk about some of the main reasons why, like stress, cortisol, polyunsaturated fats? Because I think people like just underestimate the effect that stress has on the body. Oh, I'm eating so healthy, but. And what does healthy even mean? But yeah, can you talk about that? Because I think people don't, you just don't know. They don't know.
Right. And I think that's all that we're taught at a very early age is like if you have diabetes, whether it be type 1 or type 2 or insulin resistance or any kind of blood sugar issue, you just consume too much sugar. Like that's why you have diabetes, or that's why you have blood sugar issues. Because if you think about the term blood sugar as sugar right in the term, so it makes logical sense that you would think, hey, if my blood sugar is going up, I must be consuming too many carbohydrates. And that's the thing I think that's so confusing for a lot of folks that I talk with on Instagram. They'll DM me and say, Isaac, like I'm not eating carbohydrates at all. I'm not eating any refined sugars, yet my blood sugar is high. I'm eating healthy. Like, how could this be possible for me? I'm so healthy. Well, when we dive into their history, 9 times out of 10, that person is going to be heavily stressed. And what I mean by that is not to say that like stress we can get rid of, because we can't. Like I'm stressed. I run a business. I have co-coaches working under me. It's not always an easy job. And same thing for you, Kitty. I would imagine it's stressful at times too. And so all of us have stress to some degree. It's just how do we manage it? How do we become resilient to that stress so it has less of an impact on our overall health in our blood sugar, right? And so that's, for a lot of clients, it does revolve around some nutritional work. We can be eating quote unquote healthy for what we know to be healthy, but for many times it does take some tweaks to be able to get there in a way that supports them. I call it strategic eating, so that's supporting their individual body. But I find it, with blood sugar issues, oftentimes it's less about nutrition and more so about things like regulating stress throughout the day. It's more so about light movement or even intense movement, like some strength training. It's also about access to light that make even more of a difference than anything ever would with diet, right? And so if we can get those other things into play, they are typically able to process carbohydrates more effectively, even if they're eating a fairly significant amount of carbohydrates, because it's not the carbs problem, it's the inability to process those that are more so the issue. And that's what it comes down to with insulin resistance.
So if you're listening to this podcast, like the old me, you've probably cycled through a lot of diets trying to reach a number of the scales. Do you just feel like no matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to build muscle, lose that stubborn body fat, or manage your perimenopausal or menopausal symptoms? This is where the 7-day live challenge comes in. For just a one-off payment of $49, you'll work directly with Craig and me for 7 days to learn the exact strategies you need to see real lasting changes. And it's not just about the challenge. You'll actually get lifetime access to the course materials and bonuses so you can revisit them whenever you need to and stay on track. So here's what you get when you join. Live coaching calls every day with Craig and I, where we break down your training, nutrition, and mindset, ensuring you know exactly what you need to do to reach your goals. These calls are recorded and saved to the course material, which you keep for life. We're going to set you customized starting macronutrient and calorie targets based on your goals. You'll learn how to train for your body, focusing on building muscle and managing fat loss, with workouts designed for busy women over 40. We've also got information on activity levels and also the right types of cardio you should be doing. We're going to teach you about meal planning. We're going to teach you how to find what works for your body, as well as how to improve your metabolism so that you can nourish your body without feeling deprived. You're also going to discover how to balance your hormones naturally, improve your energy, your sleep, your mood, and your digestion. Plus, you'll get access to an exclusive members-only community where you'll connect with other women who are on the same journey as you, women who've been through the ups and downs of fad diets and failed attempts. You get 30 days access to our new strength tracker app so you can track your progress, workouts, and nutrition. And you get access to hundreds of workouts that are fully customizable to the equipment you have available. They also come with full video tutorials. And if you do want to train at home, we have dumbbell-only programs. You get meal plans, food lists, and recipe books. This isn't just another fad diet or workout plan. This is a chance to learn from experts who've helped countless women just like you. And the best part is it's all for a one-off payment of just $49 AUD, and you get lifetime access to the course materials and the incredible bonuses. So no ongoing fees, just results. So now I'm going to take you through the incredible bonuses we're throwing in. You'll get access to our 30-day pro-metabolic diet challenge. You'll get access to our 90-day transformation program, which includes a body composition and macro calculator to work out your starting macros and body composition and makes adjustments as your body changes. You'll get a 90-day customizable workout program. You can choose exercises based on the equipment you have, plus suggested weight progressions and video tutorials for each exercise. You'll also get an accountability and progress tracker to keep you on track and ensure you see real results. You'll get our incredible ProMetabolic Family recipe book with over 50 family-friendly, delicious, simple recipes. You'll get my food freedom course with my coach, Greta Zirkoff, which will help you overcome emotional eating and binge eating. You'll get my How to Get Rid of Cellulite guide, my 4-day glute-focused training program with video exercise library, and my incredible progesterone masterclass with Kitty Martone. Now, the total value of the course plus the bonuses is $3,237, and you get it all for a one-off payment of just $49 Australian. So if you're ready to break free from the cycle, lose body fat, build muscle, and just look and feel your best, this is your chance. I'll pop the link to join the challenge in the show notes, and let's get back to the podcast.
Resistance, many times with stress in particular, the stress hormones prevent us from being able to utilize insulin. And if we're not able to utilize insulin as well, our cells aren't able to get access to that glucose. Instead, it stays in the bloodstream and it raises blood sugar, right? And so I find for many people with insulin resistance, it's a heck of a lot less about the carbohydrates. I don't find people are downing, you know, Cokes with high fructose corn syrup or living on McDonald's like that. That's not the audience that I get. I get the audience that are eating somewhat healthy, but are overworked, overstressed, not getting access to the sun, in indoors all day long, sitting in a chair all day long, and don't realize the impact that that could have on blood sugar.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. I feel like so many of the women we work with are the same. And, you know, some of the things we get them to do is like, get out and get sun, increase your activity levels. Either, you know, if you can go for a walk in the morning, or even, you know, we do the 10-minute walks after every time you eat, which is just getting those small walks in, you know, the strength training. Let's talk about, so like, how can having more muscle improve your body's ability to utilize carbohydrates? I sort of like to think, this is a very simple way to say it, but like muscles, like a sink for glucose. That's how I like to think of it.
For sure. Yep. It gives you more capacity to store carbohydrates in another area. instead of them sitting in the bloodstream causing chaos and inflammation, essentially, right? And so if we think about muscle, it just gives us more of that tissue to store that away because that's what muscle does. It's a metabolically active tissue. It consumes calories, it consumes carbohydrates. And so if it's something that's using up more of those carbohydrates or more of those calories, there's going to be less available in the bloodstream to kind of sit there and just like raise our blood sugar and our A1C levels. And it's going to be put to more productive use through the building of muscle, through energy that we receive. So, because with many people with blood sugar issues, like the energy is not getting to where it needs to go. And so it's sitting in the bloodstream where we can't even process it. And so for many of them, they struggle with fatigue, not because they're not eating enough typically, it could be, but mainly because the energy is not getting to the muscle cells. It's not getting to the cells where we can actually process it. And so you mentioned the sink. It gives us more of a reservoir to be able to put that glucose instead of hanging out where it's not doing anybody any good from a blood sugar perspective, but also symptoms, because you're not going to feel well if energy is not getting where it needs to go. You're not going to feel energized. You're going to feel sleepy, lethargic, tired after meals instead of energized and ready to go. It's like that afternoon slump that many people get where they're tired and they just want to take a nap in the afternoon. It's like that all day long. So that's the importance of getting energy where it needs to go. And building muscle is one way to really effectively do that.
Okay, so we talked about sunlight. So talk about actually a little bit more about the sunlight and how that helps.
Yeah, that's such a big thing. And with sunlight, we associate with like vitamin D levels, of course. And so with vitamin D, when we're getting from the sun, that is, supplementation is a separate issue. But if we're getting it from the sun, it allows our body to inherently produce vitamin D, which makes our cells more insulin sensitive, meaning we can tolerate more carbohydrates and still keep our blood sugar within good standing. It's kind of very similar to the sink example that you used. It creates an even bigger sink where we can pour more carbohydrates into that sink without it overflowing and impacting our blood sugar, right? And for most of my clients that work with me, as we approach more of the summertime in the States, like they are able to consume more carbohydrates because, of course, they're probably a little bit more active being outside and in the nicer weather, but they're getting more access to sun, which has a huge impact on blood sugar. I was just working with a client the other day that, for 2 weeks, that was her focus. She was trying to get outside for a few minutes at a time at the beginning of the day, middle of the day, end of the day. And she's one of those people that works indoors in the hospital where it's like a dungeon in there. There's no windows whatsoever. And she saw a 30-point drop in her blood sugars over 2 weeks, where now she's in the normal range. And we discount the impact that the sun can create, but it's huge. It's the thing that really turns on our ability to process carbohydrates. And that's why for many people in the winter, they tend to struggle if they're not in like the sun or are not in the light because they don't have that stimulus. And then, during those times, of course, we have more, Christmas cookies and desserts and things like that add into it. But that's typically not the overall issue. It tends to be our lack of ability to process it because the sun is such a huge indicator with turning on hormones like things like insulin and leptin that enable our body to process that sugar more effectively.
I feel like too in Australia, like there's over the last, I'm nearly 43, like there's such an anti-sun. It's an anti-sun. They're like, oh, slather yourself in toxic sunscreen, stay out of the sun completely. It's crazy.
I feel like things are so backwards. Like we're making artificial meats with like tons of ingredients and PUFAs. We're creating eggless dishes that are creating with who knows what. Like we're having artificial substitutes for the real thing that we're scared of. And I think it's just so backwards. And the sun is included in that. Like with the sun, like we think about the sun as being the problem, but if we look at people that have, the worry typically is like skin cancer, right? With more interacting with the sun. Typically, when it comes to that, we're worried about the wrong thing, I think, because people are more likely to sunburn or damage their skin when their tissues are full of like polyunsaturated fats, which not many people would realize. We're placing blame on the thing that is natural and is vital to human health instead of looking internally of like, okay, like what maybe I might be doing to actually contribute to this. And I think that's the case with everything. There's so much blame placed on external things that really don't deserve that blame at all. And I'm not saying that in excess
Yeah,
the
don't go
sun
out
wouldn't be
and lay
bad,
out there every
but
day and burn the fuck out of yourself. Like, that would be silly.
But more so just saying like I think that the blame is placed on things that are actually quite supportive to the body in the right context.
No, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that I haven't asked you. I think I've covered off all of the things I wanted to ask. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we finish off?
I guess with your audience, is there any like blood sugar trends that you see? Like, because I know you've worked with like people with insulin resistance before, or any challenges that you typically see that come up for individuals like that.
Yeah, I think it's more around too, like they can be doing all the right things with the diet, but they're very stressed, not getting enough sun, not getting enough movement. I think you've really like emphasized how important those things, obviously the nutrition is important. But yeah, I just think women underestimate, like, and like you said, it's normal to have stress in our life. It's totally normal. You need to build that resilience to stress, and you can, but I think it's that like chronically, like if you're in a like an abusive relationship or you're just overextended constantly, or yeah, you're doing something that's actually out of alignment with your heart. I find that's such a huge one for me. And I went on Survivor and came back and I was like, oh, like this is sort of things went a bit pear-shaped in our business and my personal life. And but it was such a catalyst for growth for myself and Craig. And it was actually really good. But during that time it was quite very emotionally stressful. And even though I was eating like, 26, 2700 calories, just training 3 days a week. I get sun every day. I walk, I'll do probably 10 to 12,000 steps a day, waking up, in the middle of the night. Like it's just, and that constant, like you can do all the right things, but I think, yeah, like if you've just constantly emotionally stressed or, yeah, it's just, yeah, we underestimate. I think too, like the world that we're living is as well. Like we're just, a lot of women, they've got kids, they're trying to work, they're, social
Homeschooling.
media, homeschooling. Like it's just, I don't know. Yeah, I feel it's just under it. But again, like you say, like it's normal to have stress and you can build your resilience to it. But if you're long term, chronically, emotionally stressed, it's going to impact you.
For sure. And you brought up a point with the kids stuff. I find too with women as well, like especially if they have like a lot of commitments or demands on them, whether it's homeschooling or homeschooling plus working and managing a household. If they have multiple pregnancies too, they're kind of starting off at a low level of minerals, and like stress depletes our minerals, of course, too. Robert Thompson, who's a doctor, MD here in the, I think in the States, I believe, he talked about how like each pregnancy depletes your body for with about like 4 pounds of minerals each pregnancy. And so if you add on top of that stress and demands like in the personal life, that's where I see many women actually finding out that they have blood sugar issues or gestational diabetes or prediabetes or insulin resistance. And a lot of times we wouldn't associate like post-pregnancy like with blood sugar issues or like you said, like the stress piece, but for years and years at a time, if we've had multiple pregnancies or we've taken on demands that exceed our ability to cope, where we don't have enough downtime for ourselves, or this is the thing that I see a lot too, Kitty, is like we will be going from the moment that we wake up, and then at the very end of the day, we have like revenge bedtime where like we eat all of our food, all of our calories, we get all of our downtime at that time, but by that point it's too late, and we've consumed these massive meals and massive snacks typically we're craving a lot more carbohydrates at that time too. And then we have higher fasting readings. We're less hungry in the morning and the cycle kind of repeats itself. And so that's another trend that I see a lot with women too,
Yes.
because they're such caregivers, and they're the head of the household. They make sure everything runs smoothly. And a lot of times, unfortunately, at the expense of themselves.
Yeah, that actually is a really good point. And that's a lot something I find with women. They're either intentionally under-eating, like skipping breakfast, skipping meals to try and save calories for the nighttime or lose weight, or they're unintentionally doing it. Like my sister's a great example. We've just got her tracking her food and getting her having a bigger breakfast in the morning. She was running, like smash. Not saying she shouldn't do any running, but she's in a really high intensity running for long periods of time. Stressful job, and it just all caught up with her. So we've got her to pull the running back, bring it back into the lower zones. Do some walking strength training. I'm like, look, just try and eat 800, 1800 calories. I want you to have a bigger breakfast. 'Cause like she gets up in the morning and then she won't eat till later in the day because she's so busy. So I think, and I agree with you. I've found that that's really worked with clients is like try and front load your calories a bit more. Like have a really good, decent breakfast because then if you're busy until 11 or 12, you've got that fuel, and then have lunch. Sit down and have your lunch and then have some dinner. And then, you might, I just love dessert. Like I'm a real dessert person. So I always, and I love ice cream. So I always have a small bowl of ice cream after dinner. It's just my favorite thing. But like you said, I've had a lot of good amounts of calories throughout the day because that's when you're moving and active and training, So yeah, you're right. You don't want to just eat fuck all during the day and then eat this huge meal before you go to bed because either intentionally or unintentionally. And yeah, I just find their sleep improves, their energy improves, their mood, everything like that. It is amazing these small little changes if you can do them consistently over time, how you just feel so much better.
Yeah, and that's the thing with afternoon crashes that many men and women have. They're like, well, why does this happen? Why do I need to be living on coffee? Well, for many people, they're just not eating enough, and they underestimate the fact that they actually need fuel to make sure that they're able to do their job or take care of their kids at home. Like, that takes fuel. We need fuel. We're not toddlers. We need energy. We need lots of energy, especially at the beginning of the day. And so if clients can, like you said, if they're able to front load. I love that term, front load their calories at the beginning of the day. They might find that they're just satisfied at the end of the day. Like, they don't need a ton of food to be able to get themselves by. And so, and if you get, the more that you can get ahead of that hunger and get ahead of your calories, I find for many people, that's what makes the biggest impact for them to be able to sleep, for them to have stable moods, be less stressed, and just have more energy.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. Oh, that was amazing. Thank you so much. Always love chatting with you. You've just got so much great knowledge. And yeah, what I'll do, everyone, is pop the hopefully by the time I release podcast, the book will be out. So I can pop the link to the book, but I'll put Isaac's Instagram handle in there. And as always, take a screenshot of the episode, share it on Instagram stories and tag me at KITTYBLOMFIELD. And we pick a winner every month. Someone took to, and they get a tub of Saturé premium collagen valued at $79. Thanks so much, Isaac, and I am sure that we will have you on the podcast again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Kitty.